CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicky Gonzalez. It's election season, in case you haven't heard, which means you're probably getting bombarded with flyers and ads for a host of different candidates and campaigns, from local races to statewide ballot measures and statewide elected offices that will lead the Golden State. And behind those campaigns is money, a lot of money. And that's especially apparent in this year's race for governor, where one candidate, Democrat Tom Steyer, has spent a staggering amount of money funding his own campaign, while the tech industry is donating millions more to other candidates. But does this financial backing translate into results? And how does it shape voters' thoughts about the candidates or positions they have that they're supporting? Joining us now to break the state of campaign finance down is Professor Wesley Hussey, political science professor at Sac State. Thank you so much for joining Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with a little reminder for listeners. What does all this money raised by a campaign or a candidate actually get used for? I mean, we're heading into the primary. What are the primary expenses for a campaign?
For California, it's all about TV. Even now, even as we're moving to streaming and digital, TV is extremely expensive. Second largest media market in the country, Los Angeles alone. Throw in the Bay Area, San Diego, Sacramento, Fresno. It adds up quickly. We're talking maybe 70-80% of your entire budget going to TV or digital or streaming. And digital and streaming is cheaper, but you know, you have to throw yourself out there on a lot of platforms to get out there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've been getting inundated with YouTube ads myself. If we look at the current candidates running for governor, what stands out about how much they're fundraising? Which candidates have the edge in this on this front?
Well, Tom Steyer has spent more money than any candidate ever for the history of California governor. Meg Whitman in 2010 spent a little less than $150 million of her own money running against Jerry Brown. But and with inflation, that's probably more. But it wouldn't surprise me if Steyer somehow makes it into the second round. He will easily eclipse that, even controlling for inflation. And that's an incredible amount of money running for office of governor.
Yeah. So just to stick with Steyer for a second, he's a billionaire and has become well known for self-funding his own gubernatorial campaign. He also put a lot of money into his presidential run a few years back. I mean, he's spent to the tune of $132 million, I think, as of last month. What stands out to you about that amount particularly? I mean, you've mentioned Meg Whitman, but it sounds like he's already broken this record.
Yeah, and well, when I ask my students in my class if they've seen any commercials on streaming or TV, they'll always say Steyer first, easily. Sometimes that's the only thing they've seen. And so he's run a lot of ads in favor of his campaign, maybe run ads targeting other candidates. So he's really trying to get out there with a message. And, you know, he doesn't have the years of experience in government like some of the other candidates. So he's trying to appeal to voters and remind voters who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it fair to say that, you know, we're a few weeks out from the primary? I guess I'm wondering, is it fair to say that this is where the campaign gets most expensive, right? You know, candidates are down to the wire now that ballots have actually hit mailboxes.
Yeah. I mean, they want to run ads constantly the last few weeks of the campaign. In many cases, they've already paid for ads. They paid for placement already. That's where a lot of their budget has already gone. But if they feel like some of the ads are working, they might boost up how much they're spending just to try to get over that position to get one of those two top spots.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm also wondering, how have sentiments or thoughts about wealthy candidates, maybe who are putting all of this money, their own money, into their campaign, do we have any sense of how voters feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some sense, voters get skeptical with that much money being spent, particularly of your own money. But at the other hand, they know that campaigns are expensive and that candidates are raising vast amounts of money. There's something about a person using their own money that sometimes voters like, that they appreciate, that they feel like maybe they're not going to get bought or influenced by special interest groups. But then it also does remind them how much more money this person has than them, how much more money they have than even wealthy people in California. And yeah, that does have people kind of take a second and think, do I want someone like that to be my governor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe even brings up questions about whether somebody is able to buy a role in politics rather than just running for office. What are the limits of self-funding a campaign, even if, you know, somebody like Tom Steyer or Meg Whitman like we saw in the past. I know Eleni Kounoulakis also, when she ran for lieutenant governor, had used a lot of her own money. Even if candidates that are self-funding campaigns have a significant war chest, do we know if this is any indication of success? Does the best funded candidate usually end up winning?
Not always. Having over a certain critical amount of money is key to winning races. Sometimes we do see candidates who spend the most money lose because they're desperately trying to compete with the name brand of their opponent or someone who's been in office for a long time. It's harder for challengers against incumbents. Now, in an open race like this, there's a lot of opportunities for candidates. We can go all the way back, though, to the 1998 gubernatorial race in the Democratic primary, where Gray Davis has two wealthy Democratic opponents who are spending a lot more than him. And yet he's able to still advance out of that Democratic primary by pointing out that his opponents had all of this money and he doesn't. So sometimes it can backfire. But if you're a candidate who doesn't have a long record in government, you have to show that you're a credible candidate. One of the ways you do that is be on TV, is be out there, is show the voters that you can raise money either for yourself or through donations to be someone that the political insiders think is credible and a viable candidate to run. So there is a need for candidates to spend money to be out there, but how much they spend is really based on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And is there any correlation between how visible a candidate is, whether they're spending on advertising like flyers or digital TV ads, and their popularity? Does that really have an impact on voters?
Well, it does early in polls, when oftentimes people will say they've heard of a candidate or maybe even support a candidate early on because they've seen them. They've seen commercials for them. They see them in the campaign. So there was a lot of these early polls that showed certain candidates doing very well. And Steyer himself was moving up in those polls. And we were just thinking, okay, well, what happens when the other candidates start spending money? What happens when we start seeing the media talk to candidates more? What happens when we see a debate or two? And now voters are reminded, oh, right, there's all these other candidates in the race at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when is this campaign spending When is spending a lot of money most effective? It sounds like it helped Steyer get an edge at the beginning. But, you know, now we're heading into these 3 weeks before the election, which I imagine, candidates would really want to surge spending, you know, as kind of a last ditch effort to get in front of voters. Is that a fair assessment?
It wouldn't surprise me if we still see more ads from Steyer than the other candidates because he has more money and he'd be comfortable in that position. It kind of lets him set the table, set the debate in some sense. But you're right. As long as other candidates start spending money, his advantage dissipates. But that kind of first mover advantage is definitely an important part of politics.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just self-funded candidates like Steyer. You know, there's a lot of wealthy supporters and companies that get involved in campaigns, lots of special interests. Matt Mahan comes to mind. He really has the backing of these Silicon Valley tech giants. And then you also have these other groups like, you know, PG&E is spending a lot of money actually to oppose Steyer. What does it mean for elections overall to have these major wealthy contributors donating to candidates they support or maybe to try to defeat candidates that they don't support?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of your listeners and voters are used to this idea of super PACs now. Here in California, we call them independent expenditures, and they have a little bit of different rules. But yeah, there's the ability for people to run campaigns on behalf of candidates where they're not allowed to coordinate, but the rules on that are very murky. And so sometimes you're going to see corporations, special interests, wealthy people put tons of money into a campaign to support a candidate or to attack a candidate. And that message isn't always as perfectly clear as a candidate with their own message. So I think that, you know, Steyer might have an advantage over Mahan because it's his money, his campaign. But, you know, if you start seeing a commercial, you might not know that's not actually Mahan's campaign. That's a super PAC or independent expenditure on behalf of him. And you're like, oh, now I know more about that candidate. Or I might know something about a candidate I might vote for that's negative, and one of the other candidates has a super PAC running those ads.
Mm-hmm. So which industries are like the big players when it comes to big spenders, rather, when it comes to California politics? And what have you noticed in terms of trends from how these industries are getting involved with this year's governor's race specifically?
I think the last few election cycles, we've seen this huge increase of tech money. I think tech was always a little uncomfortable understanding the rules of politics. They kind of created this aura, they're libertarian, they're outside of the realm of government. And now, as they become more and more important in society, people want to regulate them. People want to have rules on them. And they're like, whoa, we need to have candidates. We need to have elected officials who will listen to us. So I have seen an incredible amount of more money from tech, backing candidates, backing initiatives, backing ideas. But yeah, the kind of classic things you'd see in California, you might see oil giving money. You might see kind of larger corporations that aren't involved in tech. Hollywood has always been a great source of money, both individual like celebrities, but also the kind of like money behind studios and companies there. So if there's money being generated in California, there's going to definitely be campaign contributions from it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good rule of thumb. So on the other hand, a lot of candidates, they tout that they have a lot of small donations and contributions or maybe grassroots support. Has it been easier for campaigns to attract these donations? And how are they regarded compared to other financial support from, like you said, these tech giants?
I think candidates like them because they can say they have X amount of supporters, or they have like people like you and me giving money to campaigns. Historically, they weren't very helpful because it took more work to find small donors and then get them to contribute and do all of the logistical work than maybe the amount of money you would get. But these days with the internet, ActBlue, all these companies that you can just go to a website and donate, the cost is basically zero. And then now you get not only the financial benefit, but you also get this extra bonus, as we just said, of like how many people have contributed to my campaign and the numbers you can say. So I think it's turned around where now logistically there's no cost and there's both a financial and I think a political benefit as well.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sac State political science professor Wesley Hussey about campaign funding and its impact on elections here in California. So in addition to the governor's race, which we've mostly been focusing on, if we look at this year's ballot, there's also a lot of initiatives. One of the controversial measures is the wealth tax, which is drawing opposition from millionaires and billionaires. What stands out to you about how opponents are moving to try to stop the ballot measure from passing, especially when it comes to like monetary influence?
Yeah, well, so I think that the wealth tax has not officially qualified yet, but it probably will pretty soon. And so right. What's interesting is I think, you know, it's going to target a very small group of people who happen to be incredibly wealthy. And when I say incredibly wealthy, we're talking easily billionaires and maybe only 200, 300 people in the state. So some people have left. They left before the January 1st deadline. If this passes, it'll go back to where people live in California. But a lot of really rich people have given money to a variety of super PACs, independent expenditures, political groups that are going to oppose this measure if it's on the ballot. But others have like kind of put up potentially rival measures, measures that if passed at the same time would ban wealth taxes. So the wealth tax could pass, but another measure would say if a wealth tax passes now or in the future, it wouldn't qualify in California. Or even more complicated versions of that to kind of try to cut off the ability for a wealth tax to pass. And I think part of that is different strategies to defeat the wealth tax. But it also might be if both of those measures pass, there's a time for negotiation. Maybe they both get pulled, but some additional income tax is added to the tax roll. And so the ability to have a measure on the ballot gives you more leverage. And that might just be part of the strategy they're involved with.
Yeah. And we have campaign contribution limits here in California. And I know they vary based on the donating entity and also which type of race it mm-hmm. is. But what are the regulations or laws that govern how much a single entity or person corporation can contribute to a campaign?
Now, to a candidate, there are real limits. In California, they're much higher than the national one. So we're talking in the tens of thousands. For an initiative, there is no limit because mm-hmm. the courts have ruled that is very much not giving money to a person. It's giving money to an idea. And kind of First Amendment rights allow you to give basically unlimited amounts of money to the yes or no campaign for an initiative. So we could see really wealthy people giving incredible amounts of money to various no campaigns. They might not even all be the same no campaign and then coordinating in various degrees, or they could spend that money against a wealth tax and then also be giving money to these kind of alternative strategies, passing an arrival measure, passing a measure to put pressure to remove the wealth tax from the ballot, putting pressure on elected officials to kind of sort it out, like kind of force our governor to like kind of step in and make a decision.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, one more question in the last minute or so that we have here. You know, these amounts of money being spent on campaigns, it's in the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's kind of an amount of money that a lot of us are not very familiar with. What do you want people to keep in mind when they're seeing these numbers mentioned during the election season?
Well, I read once that we spend more in America on advertising for potato chips than we do for elections. And I don't know if that number is still the same or not, but we spend a lot of money on advertising in America. We're a capitalist society. We're trying to convince people to buy things. And candidates are commodities. They're ideas. They're people who have suggestions of what they want to do. And they're trying to convince us that they're the best choice. And it doesn't surprise me that a lot of money is in politics because there's a lot of consequence to who's elected and the decisions they make. And so I'm always surprised by how much money is in politics, but I have to remind myself there's a lot of money in the United States. There's a lot of money in California, and a candidate spending $150 million might be an incredible amount of money, but a campaign raising $70 or $80 million to run for governor when you're the fifth largest economy in the nation, I mean, in the world, maybe not such a big thing to worry about at that point, particularly if I want to see them run ads and see them communicate with the voters of California.
Mm-hmm. Professor Hussey, thank you so much for joining us here on
Insight. Thanks for having me.
Wesley Hussey is a political science professor at Sacramento State. We've been here talking about campaign finance and how it shapes political races here in California. Up next, we continue our series looking to speak with all eight of the leading candidates for governor. We'll hear an interview with one of our Cap Radio reporters and Democratic frontrunner Javier Becerra. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Laura Fitzgerald. We'll be right back.